Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, July 16th, the year of our Lord, 2023, and it's the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. It's a joy to welcome you here. What a blessing this is that we can gather together in this way. It's one of the gifts of the digital age for how troubling a lot of it can be. Things like opportunities to study and to worship together are just such a blessing of the current time. Having said that, let's just reflect on those things that are good and worthy and true and pure, the things that we're thankful for. I will name them. I did mention that today is Sunday, July 16th. July 16th, it means that it's my mom's birthday. And so a very special happy birthday to one of the most wonderful people I know, my mom, Jane. Blessings to you, and I'll give you a call later today. Those things that are good, birthdays, and there are celebrations in the community here. There are birthdays and weddings and baptisms going on. The sun is actually shining this morning. It has been raining and stormy for weeks down here. So I see all the tourists coming out of their various rental homes and condominiums buzzing toward the beach like ants, trying to just at least get a few moments of sunshine. So we celebrate all these things that are good. And in the midst of it all, too, there are things that are difficult. But we join together at a moment like this because in prayer and in song and in silence and in word, we experience the presence of God with us. We receive that gift. And we begin this celebration with a practice of gratitude by breathing and celebrating the breath of life. Drawing breath, taking it in. Alive in this moment, thanks be to God. And as you breathe, allow yourself to think about the best things in your life. The most precious moments, the precious people, the goodness of God. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky, and maybe, just maybe, a smile might come to your face as you give thanks. Thanks to God for what is good. And in this spirit, in this pose, in this posture, let us begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. You can find today's bulletin just below where you found today's podcast. It might even say sermon notes on it. Just tap on that and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. O God, we gather together in your presence with expectation, hungry for an encounter with you, eager to hear your word. Open our eyes and our ears to the presence of the Holy Spirit. May the seeds of your word scattered among us this morning fall on fertile soil. May they take root in our hearts and lives and produce an abundant harvest of good words and deeds. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our teacher and our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel in the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And then we jump to verses 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. They sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Now here's where we jump ahead, and Jesus goes on to explain the parable he's just told, starting at verse 18. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for that, what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Please join with me in a moment of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of your word alive and among us. May all of us who hear today, may we be good soil for the reception of this good word. Save us, O God, from misinterpretation and distraction. Help us to clear the way to receive the gift that you offer us in this moment. And we pray all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, Amen. Friends, a brief reflection today. This is the first in what will be a series of reflections, homilies, on the parables of Jesus here in the middle of Matthew's gospel. Today is a unique parable in that Jesus not only tells it, but he explains it. And the part that we didn't read in the middle is his explanation to the disciples as to why he often teaches in this peculiar way, these parables. I found a great explanation of this, a summary of it, in the writing of Bishop Robert Barron and his Word on Fire ministry. Please do yourself a favor. If you are unfamiliar with the work of Bishop Barron and Word on Fire, avail yourself to them. It's a short couple of paragraphs that is entitled The Point of Parables. I'll just read it to you. The disciples ask Jesus why he speaks to the crowds in parables. Jesus is explaining the kingdom of God in these provocative and puzzling stories and images that seem to be his preferred way of preaching. And he replies to his disciples, "The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand." In other words, he tells parables because the crowds refuse to believe in him and what he has to say. Many parables are strange initially off-putting and puzzling. Of course, that is the point of parables, to bother us, throw us off base, confuse us a bit. How characteristic this was of Jesus' preaching. He rarely lays things out in doctrinal form. He prefers to tell these puzzling, funny stories. Why? Because in many cases, stories reveal truth that arguments can't quite capture. Amen. Think about these parables in the context of where they're happening. Jesus engages with people that want to argue with him. And often what they're arguing about is a miracle he's just performed. That he can be in front of a group of people, particularly the more critical and cynical among them. He can heal a man who has been blind since birth. And the cynical ones around him can't see the miracle. They can only argue points of doctrine or why it can't possibly be so. Perhaps they're protecting themselves from being disappointed or let down. Or the one who has been out of his mind as far as anyone around him can understand. And yet when he comes in proximity to Jesus, when he's touched by the Savior, he comes back into his right mind. And many refuse to believe it. News too good to be believed. And so to cut through the critical mind, the fear of being let down, the affront to the ego that the miracle-working, incredible preaching, teaching, healing rabbi and his disciples bring to town, Jesus provokes thought, gives folks a time to pause and reflect by telling these beautiful stories, because sometimes stories reach us in a way that real life situations can't. I think that's, of course, very true of story. It's very true of song. I think that speaks to the transcendent truths of beauty and goodness and truth, in that when our storytelling and when our art seeks to communicate these things, the kingdom of heaven breaks into the heart. And so this parable, Which again, Jesus himself explains to us, so I don't need to get in his way by trying to pick it apart. I think it would be on us to do really what he intends for us to do, and that is to sit with it. Sit with his story and then his explanation of the story, and then pause and reflect. We have this middle section, verses 10 through 17, that we skip over where he explains why he tells parables. And then this blessing that we receive where he says, "Hear, now hear it." He's already told the parable of the sower, but at verse 18, he says, "Hear it. I've told you that story. Now let's really hear it. Let's let it sink in." First, he says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what is sown in the heart." That's what was sown on the path. It's this truth, this word that never has chance to take root, because it's just laid bare on the bare ground. It's the grass seed that falls on the driveway or the cart path and never has a chance to get rooted, taken away before it really has a chance to grow. And he goes on to say, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures for a while. And then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. And he goes on to talk about then another area where seed falls, where it falls among thorns, weeds, invasive species of plants that choke out what this good word is trying to do. And then finally, when a seed falls in the proper place, when it's just the right pH of the soil, and perhaps there's someone to tend that soil, to water it, to cover it with protection, to let what's germinating just below the surface get root before it springs forward. There's so much to think about. I think his explanation is just to help us to think about what he's saying. And just in reading this passage over and over this week and considering it, how sometimes as we consider God's good word, and particularly these parables, and then we see illustrations of it in our own lives, the stories he tells connects to our own stories. One of which for me is my wife and I just bought a home here in Pensacola, and we're in the process of doing some work on it, and it has this big and beautiful yard, more yard than I've had to manage in a long time. And so I'm out there, right, trying to tend to it. And just when I get one section of the yard kind of looking the way I want, I see over to the right that the weeds have taken over. Some stuff is getting not enough water or too much sun, and it's getting scorched, and realizing this is constant effort to try to make sure that everything in this garden, everything in this yard grows to the best of its design. Some days you're pulling out thorns. Other days you're removing rocks and other things. Other times you're pulling things off that they're unprotected. That's plants. And of course, we can make that application to our lives. And sometimes something seems to be growing and beautiful, and you give it some time and effort, and then you realize it's something else entirely. There is a tree in the yard. It's right in the front yard, and I think it was planted there intentionally. And when we first bought the house, I noticed it was filled with these beautiful pink flowers, this tree. And I thought, oh, isn't that a lovely tree? And as the flowers fell away, then the tree developed these beautiful big green leaves. And then I noticed fruit growing on the tree. And I can barely tell the difference between a maple and an oak, so I am no botanist. But I was really enamored of these fruits that were abundant on this tree, and they appeared, at least to my untrained eye, to be figs. And so then I began an exhaustive search of the internet to find out what kind of figs are growing on this tree, and I just couldn't find them. Was it some kind of a rare hybrid? Not too far down the road from here at Louisiana State University, there's a big ag department. There are actually varieties of figs that are known as LSU figs. But it wasn't any of these things. And eventually, I was able to determine what kind of tree this is and what the fruit is that's growing on it. And it turns out it's not a fig tree at all. It's a tung oil tree, T-U-N-G, tung oil tree. Now, for some of you, I say that and you'll know exactly what it is. But I didn't. Now, this tree is beautiful and it bears fruit and it's deadly. One seed from a tung oil tree could kill a person. And then I read that these trees were brought here to this part of the country because they thrive, and they used to be, they were produced, grown, to make something called tung oil, which before the age of synthetic furniture finishing, the new coatings that we have for furniture now, you used tung oil. And so they would pull these fruits, I guess they press them or process them somehow to make this furniture varnish, which just had me thinking about this parable about tending gardens, trying to apply it to our daily living, to be able to name the thorns in our lives or the moments in our lives where we might impulsively, impetuously receive something. Maybe we read an inspiring teaching and we go running off in a certain direction, not fully prepared with a knowledge and a maturity in what we're doing. And we run headlong into a wall, or we get scared, or we get confronted with somebody's counter argument and we quit. And sometimes something's growing in the garden and we think, isn't that beautiful? Doesn't that serve me well? And you realize, oh man, that thing's poisonous. And not only is it poisonous, it's pervasive. I began to look around the yard, and this is on the list of invasive species of plant around here. And the encouragement from the agriculture department is, pull them out. Get rid of these things. Yes, they can be ornamentally beautiful, but compared to the toxicity that they bring into the environment, get rid of it. Which makes me think about seeds and the sower of seeds. There are all kinds of sowers out there sowing all kinds of seeds. And so perhaps first and foremost, As we pay attention to the kind of soil that we try to produce in our lives, as we go about the business of personal reflection and spiritual development, looking at Jesus' teaching and saying, where is my soil, the soil of my life and my heart and my spirit? Where is that rocky? How do I name those rocks and remove them from my lives? What weeds are growing up in here that are going to choke out the hope and the good things that I experience in my life? Are there places where I'm just vulnerable and so vulnerable to attack that I need to find shelter and protection? All of these wonderful things that Jesus teaches us in this simple story. But it all starts with the sower and the seed. Who will we allow to sow seeds in our lives? Because there are a lot of people, like I said, that are keen on trying to plant a variety of different seeds in your life, that want different things to grow up and manifest themselves in your heart and in your mind, and in the way you live your life. The decisions you make for yourself and your family and your kids and your grandkids. Simple, seemingly simple or basic or foundational principles like right and wrong, goodness, truth, and beauty. And so as we try to prepare our soil, we need to fix our eyes on the sower. and accept seed from no one other than Jesus Christ, from the Son of God, who sows seeds of truth and goodness and beauty and charity and compassion and forgiveness, love of God, love of self, love of neighbor. Because we could be all kinds of prepared, but if we receive seeds from the one who comes and offers something that might appear to be beautiful and fruitful on the surface, and learn, perhaps when it's too late, that what's grown up in our garden might just kill us. So in this consideration of the parable of the sower and the seeds and the various kinds of soil, let us not lose sight of the sower and the precious gift of the seeds that he has to offer. Because what he has to offer is eternal and beautiful and worth any sacrifice that we need to make in our lives so that he will grow in us. It's wonderful good news, to which I say, Amen. Let's join together in prayer. God, thank you. Thank you for these ancient and sacred stories, life-giving stories, challenging stories, histories and parables, poems, songs. As we focus on these things, on your good word, our lives change. The distractions and the fears and the concerns, our arrogance and our pride is diminished. And we can hear you. We can truly listen to you. We can be changed, healed, nurtured, grown. And so we just confess, oh God, that we get it wrong. We fall down. And we're distracted in a thousand different ways. But we give you thanks. We give you thanks for your patience with us, your grace. Thanks for the gift of your Son, who saves us from ourselves. So we come to you and we ask you, heal us. Heal our families. Heal our bodies and our minds and our spirits. Provide for us, we pray. We pray, oh God, that you would walk among the arrogant and bless them with humility. We pray that you would walk among those who have been broken on the wheels of living. And one by one, you would lay hands on them, command them, arise and walk. And for those who have been patiently, faithfully walking the walk, doing the work, bless them with encouragement. Well done. Well done. And in all of this, God, we're mindful of the things that are going on in our lives right now, the things that we're grateful for, the things that are hurtful and hard. Many of us keep a prayer list. We write these things down, and in our quiet time with you, we review them, share them with you, we pray. For others of us, they just keep us awake at night. But no matter how it is we review these lists, oh God, we give them to you right now. We turn them over to you. Seek your blessings upon them. And we make quiet space where we humbly ask that you might speak to our hearts. Space for you to speak and for us to listen. we break our silence. We thank you, dear God, for the gift of peace and quiet. We thank you for the traditions of the church, for the teaching of the church, and the practices of our church. We thank you for the gift of a prayer that you taught your first disciples, and for the faithful generations that saved it for us. And so we celebrate with them and with future generations as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Dear ones, as we move on from this moment together, I pray that we will do so with a renewed focus on the sower of good seeds, our Lord Jesus, and that we would day by day be more prepared to receive the seeds of hope and peace and love and joy and goodness and light and charity and compassion that he so generously sows in our presence, that we'd share that good news with one another, that we could humbly and boldly say, we are saved. God is good. Our God, that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who speaks peace into your life. Go in peace. Amen. Thank you.